Bit natural.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Pocket Rocket podcast. This time it is a man behind the muscle in review with our newest IFBB pro. Hayder, how are you?
I'm very, very well. Thank you very much, Hannah.
I am so buzzing for this episode. I can't even begin to tell you. I'm probably like equally as buzzing about this as you were when they said you were the overall and the newest pro.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for this as well, to be fair. The last one, so good. And this follow-up is, it's very fitting. It's very kind of, I don't know, it's one of those things that I didn't really expect to kind of happen, even though I was chasing. But yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, it's just very surreal.
Still. I mean, when we ended the podcast last time, after we hit like stop on the record, I said to you, when you turn pro, we will do this again. And you were like, well, yeah, like if, no. When? Yeah, I knew it was going to happen. It was inevitable. It was just a matter of time. And you've done it.
I know. It's crazy. Still can't believe it. Like, even though everybody says it's just a matter of time, it's not a matter of if, it's when, it's like you get into the kind of, which is very bad and very negative and very kind of sort of something that I wouldn't obviously ever recommend to anyone to do, but I think it was very hard for me to kind of break that cycle of just missing out. I just expected to keep just missing out. It became very normal. Like, I kind of, like, this sounds so fucking shit as well, I don't even want to say it, but I kind of accepted being, not a loser, I don't want to call myself a loser, but I kind of accepted being that guy that was just okay with coming second or just missing out. Like, because I'd took the hits that many times, they kind of, they didn't feel normal, but it was like I could accept it. So it was like, oh, okay, it's happened again, kind of thing. Like, oh yeah. Like, in my mind, my mindset changed to the point where I was going into shows hoping that I'd win rather than feeling confident that I could win. I was going into shows thinking I could get a pro card here. I could snag a pro card. Like, I'm good enough to turn pro. But I didn't think for one single second I was good enough to win that whole show and beat everyone. Not for a second. When I was stood there in that, I don't know if anybody saw that clip when I got off stage and I'm like, looked like a man possessed talking to Callum. Like, I genuinely thought when I didn't get third and I didn't get second, that was it. I wasn't going to win. I thought, I'm fucked it again. So I was like, shit. But then I won it and I was like, wow, what the hell? So yeah, that's why I'm kind of in a little bit of a void.
You're still there. We've lost the picture, but I can hear you.
Okay, that's good. It's because someone's trying to call me.
Some technical difficulties.
There we go. I think we're back.
So talk me through that moment then, because like as a competitor myself, I always relive that moment where they're calling placings. And it's almost like it haunts me in the most incredible way, because you can't help but run through those emotions. And as they're calling people's names and numbers, you're like, okay, well, I'm either even further away or I'm one place closer.
Yeah.
So when they called third, what did you think?
I was like, okay. Let's see if we can get second here. We might be in for a second. Because they moved us around so strange as well. Well, like, they had me in the middle, and then they moved me to one in from the end, then to the end.
They did the same with me.
Then they moved me back in the middle. I was like, okay, I'm not really sure what the fuck's going on here. So I didn't know. I didn't know at all. And then it was the same in my class. They had me in the middle the whole time. And then moved the guy that I was worried about in the middle. And then they moved the guy who was next to me on the outside in one as well and me out one. So I wasn't sure then whether I was in the lead throughout the whole thing. And then they decided at the end, nah, let's give him first place. But then Callum was like, no, I think what they've done is they've decided that you've won and they wanted to compare second and third. That's why they moved those two both in. So then that made sense, obviously, when I'd won. Mm. Yeah, so that's when, so when I won the class, that was amazing. I was elated. I went nuts on stage then because I knew how good the guy was that they were comparing me to a lot. He was fucking dangerous. So to be him, I was like, fucking hell, that was a relief. And then obviously, you know, you've got quite a good chance of turning pro because you've got 3 pro cards on offer. Mm. Being in the overall, yeah, like I said, when they called second, when they called third, I was like, okay, let's see what we can do here. Hopefully we've got second. Then they called second and I was like, I just thought straight back to Finland when I was in the overall there.
You just went full deflation.
Yeah, because I mean, in that last show in Finland, it was very tight. Like Ash, who won his pro card, is very good. So I don't really have any complaints in losing, but they were battling us. Like it was me and him in the middle. They were rotating us. They kept us on stage really fucking working for a long time. I knew that when we were in the overall, it was so close. And we both had exactly the same numbers. Our first 2 numbers were exactly the same. So it was like, you know what Ian's like. And like he called the first 2 numbers. And I was looking down at his number and I was thinking, this could go anyway. Because I could tell how close it was. And then they obviously called his number and I was like massively deflated. I was like, so I was just thinking about that exact moment and how that felt. So I'm sat there, stood there waiting and he's called third, he's called second. And then he's going like, obviously building it up as he does.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh, this is it again. It's going to happen again, isn't it? Going to walk away disappointed.
So you'd almost given up before it even happened.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I genuinely didn't believe that I was that good. I didn't think I was good enough to win a show of such magnitude. Like that show was probably the biggest show in Europe, like the biggest amateur show in Europe.
900 competitors.
Yeah, mental. I was like, I've been to big shows, I've competed in big shows, I've done well in big shows, but this was massive. And I was just like, yeah, I'm not.
900 competitors and you won the whole thing and got your pro card.
Oh, it's so crazy. I swear, it is so crazy. This smile does not stop.
It's mad. I mean, I was backstage, obviously myself, all the girls around me were chatting. And I was listening because I couldn't see. But I was listening and I was like, right, okay, now, right, Hayder's class. I was listening. And I was sitting there with my fingers crossed either side of my face. And when they shouted your name, I yelled out loud and everyone looked at me like, what? And I just turned to the girl next to me and I was like, you have no idea what this means to him. You have no idea.
Cute.
Goosebumps just thinking about it right now. I'm honestly absolutely over the moon for you.
I'm so grateful for your support. Thank you. Honestly, man, I when they called me as the winner, I didn't know what to do. Like I rehearsed it in my mind so many times.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought, I'll probably cry. I'll probably like break down. Like, but I didn't cry because it's just so surreal. Like, I feel like I'm probably gonna cry in like a week or something, like when it really does set in and can't and I adjust to it, because I still can't believe it, and I couldn't believe it there and then. So because of that, I couldn't kind of connect with my emotions. It was like I was in a state of shock. It was just like, has this actually happened? Like, has this really happened? What the fuck, kind of thing. Like, I'm just like walking around stage, like putting my hands over my head and like doing circles and just couldn't believe it. I could not believe it.
So when you walked off stage,
yeah,
who was the first person you spoke to?
I think it was Callum straight away.
And what was the first thing he said to you?
I don't even remember. I just think he was just smiling. Like if you, I don't know if you saw the video of somebody recording me and then turning the camera to Callum. He was like hunched over, not even watching. He couldn't even look. I feel like I've took about 5 years off his life from this. I do. Like, I've put him through the mill big time because he's such a good friend as well as a coach. Like, he's always been really supportive of me. He's always been a friend of mine. And then when I got to work with him, we just worked well together straight away anyway, because we've trained together in the past and we spoke a lot and we hit it off straight away. Like, we had a good result. Like, and the progression's been sick. It was like we came third in Spain, then we came second in Poland, then we won in Finland and missed out on the overall, and then we won in Denmark and won the overall. It's like, just, yeah, it was amazing. But I know he's been put through it, because I mean, I was like, look, mate, I wouldn't say I make him go with me, because I know he loves it. He likes to travel with us and stuff. But yeah. I can be very kind of insecure at times and very anxious about stuff. And I'm like, I need you there, man. I can't do it. If you're not, I'm not doing it. Like, that's what I say to him sometimes. And he's like, yeah, okay, of course I'm coming. And I'm like, okay, sick, wicked. I'll book it all now. Like, and he lives and breathes bodybuilding. He loves his job. Like, when we're sat in the apartments or the Airbnbs or whatever, he's just working. It could be just for like 20 minutes here or half an hour there, but he's non-stop on his Mac working, doing check-ins, Zoom calls, phone calls, all sorts. Like, he absolutely loves his job. To coach people at a high level, he loves to put people through competitions and peak them and get them ready. But it's obviously very stressful when you not only love your job, but you actually care about your client. Like, I've got clients that are competing in this weekend, next weekend, and the weekend after that are good friends too. And you burden a lot of the responsibility on yourself. You know, like, especially with this show, because we did it so differently. Like, we did a mental peak. Like, we ate so much food leading into, yeah, like the night before the show, we went out for all you can eat sushi. No holds barred, no being sensible with your choices of the menu. Like, it wasn't like just pick nigiri and sashimi. It was like fried tempura, fucking sticks of this and that. Eat till you cannot move. I was like crippled with pain. It was like post-show binge, but the night before a show. And I'm doing it, and the whole time I'm doing it, I'm thinking, this is not right. What the hell am I doing? Like, this, how am I gonna look good on stage tomorrow? Like, what the fuck? Like, I've just eaten 450 grams of carbs that day, and the day before, 1,000. And I'm like, now you're popping me up with probably close to another, I don't know. It's so hard to say when you're just eating nonstop. Like, I seem to blow my nose. I'm sorry. Got a bit of a cold.
So with that sushi blow up, it's something I thought about. Well, we were talking about it on the way home, my coach and I, Jake. And I was like, did you see how much sushi, like, Hader ate, though? And we kind of said, well, surely they'd played that out once or twice in maybe a refeed or an off plan or something.
Yeah, I mean, we had. So it wasn't completely kind of alien. But whenever I've done refeeds before, we've done stuff like that. But then when it comes to competition, we don't. Do you know what I mean? Because you can't physically kind of track. Like, I've never counted how many rolls I've had.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? It's just always been eat, fill the tank, eat till you can't eat anymore, and then we move on.
Yeah.
So we went from doing that in the evening, and I was literally like struggling to move. Like, my stomach was hurting me. I was like, fucking hell. Like,
were this you is not like, freaking I, out at that point?
I know what it's like to kind of, yeah, I was a little bit, but I trust them. So I can safely say that I'll blindly do whatever he wants me to do, like, without a doubt. So am I still on?
You are, yes.
Okay, just so I was just like, right, I'm gonna just do what he says and eat till I'm full, and at the end of the day, this is what he wants me to do, so I'm gonna do it. And we went with it, and yeah, like you know yourself, obviously you've competed and you've eaten until you can't move before. I'm sure everybody's done it.
Horrible.
And you wake up the next day and you can't, you're not comfortable, are you? Like, nope. you're in and out the toilet, you've got gas and you feel crap and like
everything, and I always describe it as like under your ribs, it feels like your stomach is like popping out from it, like it's painful from there. So I can't imagine waking up like that on a show day and thinking, this is gonna be great.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. I was thinking, because he's like, right, we're going to definitely need to eat more in the morning. And I'm like, are you mad? I was like, I don't eat more in the morning. Whenever I eat food like this, I don't eat until like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Like, I can't physically. And he just didn't say anything. And then I was like, okay, fuck it. I was like, I'm going to bed. And then like woke up the next day and I wasn't super, super bloated like usually, but I was a little bit kind of backed up. But then he was like, yeah, fine. I was like, and I wasn't super watery or anything like that. He was like, yeah, good, right, let's get some food in. And we had three carb meals on show day.
And you were on fairly early in the grand scheme of things, weren't you?
Yeah, we were on about four-ish, I think, four-ish.
Yeah, show ran a little bit late, didn't it? Because it was meant to be a little bit earlier than that.
But usually, I mean, what we've done with every other show is we've gone 2 days carb loading, and then we've got 24 hours, zero carbs, where we completely back away from the carbohydrates because we want to remove any excess fluid and we want to make sure that on show day, my waist is super tight and there's no food hanging around my stomach, there's no bloat, there's no issues. But this time, he was like, we need to replicate the fullness that you're getting from these sushi feeds. He's like, try and mimic that on stage because these boys are going to be big and we need you to be full as a house. And I've never, ever, looking back at shows, maximized my potential. Everybody's different and everybody reacts differently to how they assimilate carbohydrates, what they can push in terms of fullness and still stay tight. And I'm somebody that can fill up. And when I'm full, I look about 10 kilos heavier than what I am. Like, I'm on stage, stood next to that kid that was next to me in my class, the one that I thought was going to beat me. And he was a big black kid. I don't know if you saw him. But he was 104 kilos. I'm like 91.
Wow, big difference then.
And I look bigger, as big as, if not bigger than him, and more conditioned. Because the illusion of filling up properly, I really do look a lot bigger than what I am. So Callum was very fixated on making sure that I was big on stage. And he knows that I've never really done that. We've never really managed to nail it. Like every time which is like kind of good because you look back and you think we didn't nail it. We still managed to place and win and do well in those. So this time we kind of pushed it. We took a risk and it paid off, I guess, because my waist stayed tight and I was full as a house. Like I started pumping up and everything just exploded straight away. And I was like, yes, we're on. And yeah, it was just crazy how much food we had to eat to achieve that look.
I mean, you could say it was a risk, but you could say that it was just repeating something that I've talked about with a few people in the last kind of 6 months is this change in people's peak weeks to what they would normally do. So people start cutting out loads of stuff and they start changing things and you're kind of a bit like, well, why are you changing all that? Because you look great on Tuesday evening after you trained. So You didn't do anything differently there. You had all the water, you had all the food that you'd normally have, your fats, carbs, everything. So you could say that Callum just went, well, you look cracking day to day, so let's just do that.
True. It is very true, but at the same time, it's just because it's kind of untrackable. It wouldn't ever have been the same. No one sushi feed would have been the same. I could never say, yeah, that's exactly the same amount I ate last time, or that's exactly the same rock I ate last time, or they had the same amount of sodium on that they had in that place in Dubai. Like, it was so, it could have been, so, the variances could be huge. Like, we all know how much different food can be in terms of sodium content, fat content, calorie content, just on how somebody cooks it. So there's always that risk there, which is something that's always going to be prevalent because of, you just can't control those conditions. And obviously I don't usually do 2 days, well, 1.5 days of full carb loading before I have a sushi meal.
Yeah. I'm
like dust and I'm depleted to death before I'm having a feed. Do you know what I mean? So it was, in a sense it was the same, but at the same time there was a lot of differences. So it was always going to be something that gave me a little bit of fear and a little bit of doubt.
As Rhea would say, no more fear, no more doubt.
Yeah, no more fear, no more doubt.
Literally, that's spot on for you right now.
It is, yeah, because it's how I'm feeling as well. Like, I was speaking to Jordan after the show and he sent me a voice note and he was like, mate, I'm so happy for you, all this. And he was like, now the pressure's off. He's like, now you're going to go into a pro show excited and wanting to, not feeling like you have to win. Like, every show I've been going into is like, I need to win. I have to get first quarter. I have to be in that overall. I need to win my pro card. It's not fun at all. Like, this show for me was like, I didn't ever say it, but I had Denmark and I had Spain. And I was like, if I don't win my pro card here, I'm probably going to sack it off.
Really? Like,
I didn't publicly say it. Yeah, because it's just like, how many times are you going to try? And how many, like, how many times are you going to be that nearly guy? And I just felt like a failure. I thought, if I can't win after all these shows, then I'm never going to fucking win. Like, and I just didn't want to fucking keep showing up because it wasn't becoming fun anymore. The enjoyment had kind of gone and I was just chasing this goal and it was just like, fucking hell. Like, we spoke before I'd done 5 shows and got turned away at Norway border for the 6th. Do you know what I mean? Doing all that in quick succession was just like draining. I had 4 weeks off in between Norway, being turned away from Norway and Denmark, where I completely let my hair down. I ate what I wanted. I maintained my routines in terms of cardio and steps and stuff, but I just had family time and chilled out, put a bit of body fat on and then resumed prep. That obviously really helped me and allowed me to bring a fresher look and a bit of a better mindset, a bit more hopeful, because I could see my body changing in a manner that was positive, because it started getting fucking knackered. Do you know what I mean? Like, show after show after show, it's hard for anyone anyway, but doing like 5 back to back, your condition starts to slip because you don't realize it, because you think that, oh yeah, my metabolism's sky high now, I've just competed, I can eat what I want, I can do what I want. But when you're doing shows back to back, week to week, and you're carb loading, and then you get on stage and then you have a cheat meal and a load of shit that night, and then you've got like 5-6 days to deplete again, you never really catch up. So you get a tiny little bit fatter every week. And by Norway, I was looking shit. I was like, this, do you know what I mean? And I needed to restart and refresh again. And you just get in that habit of like obviously we're always analyzing ourselves and looking at ourselves, and you, the doubt sets in, you start questioning whether you're capable of doing it again, and is my body that tired? Is this 4 weeks going to be enough? Like, even that, if you look at it really, I've been dieting since like March, and 4 weeks is literally nothing. Like, it's not a long time to have a little bit of time off and then start hardcore prep again. So even then, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. But luckily, my body responded really, really well. And I ended up being in a really good package, of course, and it was my best yet. So I guess sometimes you've got to just dig your heels in and get it done.
Yeah, do you know what? I think that's a really, really good message to put across as well, because I know that there are a lot of people, whether you are new to this circuit or you've been doing it a long time, there are a lot of people that keep going and keep going and keep going. And I'm sure that they've had those thoughts of, can I actually do this? Can I really? Am I built for this? And I think it's like we kind of touched upon the other day, like this is the perfect example of, if you just keep going, it will come.
Yeah.
But it can be so hard when, like you say, you get pushback, and you're like, I'm always number two.
Yeah, like it's like you're so close, but you're so far. It's like anybody can say what they want and tell you that it's a matter of time and all this, but you just get to a point where you're like, just stop saying it, please, because there's been a lot of time. It's still not happened. Do you know what I mean? Like, how many more times can I just keep trying to do this? Because at the end of the day, if I've not won an overall yet, then am I just hoping for a quiet show? Am I hoping for somebody to turn up that's not as good as me? Do you know what I mean? And then you're looking at it at the other angle of like, well, why would you want to do that? Or what's the point in turning pro if you're just a shit pro? Like, if you can't win an overall, you're never going to do jack shit as a pro. Do you know what I mean? And then you get other people saying stuff like, yeah, but it's because you just look like a pro already and you're more suited to the pro ranks. And they like giving the amateur wins to the people that look like amateurs. And then they give them time to grow and get in the pro league and all that. And you're like, this is just all talk. Like, no one actually knows any of this. Do you know what I mean?
That's bollocks personally, but there we go.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not a judge, mate. Do you know what I mean? You don't know that. And I'm like, well, how does that even make sense? Because if I look like a pro, then surely they'll be like, yeah, give him his pro card. He belongs in the pro league. Do you know what I mean? And then, like, I think I kind of spoke to you about this last time on the podcast. It's like your brain is flooded with a thousand different things that you could pick and decide on as to why you haven't done well. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's so many different things that you could say, like, oh, I got screwed over, or oh, they don't like me, or oh, he's in with the judges, or oh, yeah, I look like a pro, or oh, it just wasn't my day today, or yeah,
if he hadn't have turned up, then if I only stood next to this person, if the lighting was better.
Yeah, like you could sit there and have a million different excuses as to why you didn't win. Do you know what I mean? It's like, this is the crazy game that we're in. It's like, yeah, I do believe that the best person doesn't always win. I do believe that happens. But then whose decision is that to say that that person was the best? What, because I think it? Or because you think it? At the end of the day, the judges have the decision and that's what they decided. So are they right? Because their decision's final, does that mean it's correct? These are the constant arguments you can have with yourself. And this is where you can really drive yourself mental, and you've just got to just switch it off and just crack on with what you've got to do and keep focused on the goal and just have faith that the right decision will come to light when it's time. And at the end of the day, I guess that's what happened, just in time, because I was about done.
I mean I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason, and I think, like we touched upon 10 minutes ago or whatever it was, the biggest show. So although you were at the point of giving up, you didn't turn pro at a shit show in the arse end of December, where no one of any kind of notability in the sport turns up, and it's just these random people and they all look a bit crap and everyone's a bit tired, and then you brag about going pro there.
Exactly. And that's what makes it all so much better and so much more kind of, I guess, vindicating, because I feel like I've fucking done something really, really special now. Like, I feel like what I've achieved is no fucking joke. Like, I missed out on Norway, where there was like 30 competitors or something. I got a message off the head judge post show that I didn't make it, in my inbox, saying, "Don't want to stab the knife in and twist it, but if you'd have turned up today, you'd have won." And I was like, fucking hell, that's kind of
what I did turn up today. It wasn't in my control.
Yeah, I tried. Mm. In one hand, it's like, amazing, he thinks I'm good enough to turn pro. And on the other, it's like, for fuck's sake, this is not meant to be. Never going to turn pro. And then now I look back and I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't get in. I'm so glad that they didn't let me in Norway, because I would have won a little show. Yeah, I would have turned pro. I would have been happy. I would have been overall winner or whatever. But I just went and won the fucking biggest show in Europe.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, keep it, mate. Whoever won, like, that's yours, mate. Enjoy it. I've just gone and done something really fucking sick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Love that so much.
Honestly, I'm so glad I never won any of those shows. Like, it's just nuts. Like you say, everything does happen for a reason, and I feel so happy that it's happened. It's happened at the end of November, just coming into Christmas, where I would have been having time off anyway. I can go home back to Dubai and celebrate with my children. They fucking watched me grind this whole year. They know exactly what I've been chasing for. Like, my boy got emotional, started crying and stuff, and saying like, "Oh, he should have won ages ago. It's not been fair," and all this sort of shit. Oh. Like, they were both watching online, going nuts. I don't know if you saw me share it on my story. Like, my 3-year-old daughter just screaming, running around the house. My son's just so happy. Like, to go home and be able to enjoy it with them. And just, oh, bless you, show them that everything that I did, was every sacrifice I made, when they saw me like tired in the front room, falling asleep, where they see me dragging my ass up at like 7 p.m. to do my evening cardio. Now they see that it was all worth it. It was all worth the effort and the pain and the suffering and the tiredness, because I set myself a goal. And I worked hard to achieve it. And it is just showing them lessons that hard work pays off. And this is the biggest and best thing that they will ever be able to witness in their life, that their own dad has put so much on the line, worked hard, spent tons of money and time into going to try and achieve this goal. And now I'm a professional athlete. I can sit there and say I'm an IFBB pro, and it all was worth it. And they're so happy. They see it. They've watched it. They've witnessed it. And they've came to shows. They've sat there and watched me come second and come with a third medal or a first place medal, and explain how I just missed out. And they're just kids being kids. "Oh, you were the best, and you should have won," and all this. And I'm like, "Next time, don't worry, we will win," and all that. And like, now I can say, "See, I told you.
Yeah,
told you I'd do it."
You're so right. It's such a great lesson for them to see.
Yeah, like, it applies to everything. I said it on my story yesterday. It's like, you have to be willing to do it. I mean, it sounds cliche, it sounds cheesy, but if you're willing to put the work in and just continue to strive and work hard for your goals and show that you're relentless in the trying to achieve them, you will achieve them. Because it's just going to happen, because there's not that many people that are willing to just continue to work hard. people will give up easily. People will give up before you. And if you just want it enough, you will get it, regardless of what it is. Yeah. And I really believe that you can apply this to anything in life, business, relationships, friendships, competition, goals, bodybuilding, strongman, whatever it is. If you just be consistent, if you can work hard consistently over time, you will get to where you want to be. You've just got to have some patience and be willing to take some knocks on the way. Mm. And if you do that, you're going to get there without a doubt.
Yeah. Consistency will beat everything. It will beat intelligence. It will beat genetics. It will be like hard work for a period of time. If you are consistently striving towards whatever it is, education, like you say, work, bodybuilding or fitness of some kind, whatever it is, business, you will get there because it's non-negotiable.
That's it. Exactly that. And at the end of the day, like you say, hard work beats genetics, without a doubt. The lad who I beat in my class has got far superior genetics to me, without a doubt. But he wasn't hard enough. He wasn't trying. He hadn't been working as hard as I had been. And that's it. Maybe if he had, he would have beat me.
Yeah.
And he knows that. I saw him post a post today on his story, tagging me in it, saying he deserved to lose. I was more conditioned. I was in better shape. At the end of the day, hard work beats talent, doesn't it? And it's as simple as that.
Yeah. I think that's a really good show of sportsmanship as well, which can be quite rare in this sport to see someone be like, do you know what? Yeah, they're better than me. Cool.
He had his moment backstage. He wasn't such a sportsman as soon as it happened, but yeah.
Sometimes it takes time, doesn't it? And acceptance.
Yeah, I let him off with it. I don't mind. I'm easy. I'm happy. So.
Of course you are. You got the card.
There's not many people that have said, who have disagreed with the judging. So I'm happy in that sense too. Usually you're going to get somebody saying, oh, yeah, he was a bit soft, or he should have won, or he should have won, or she should have won, or whatever. But apart from that guy having a bit of a moment with his mates post-show, I've not heard any kind of negative words or anyone saying that I didn't deserve it, or it was my time, or he got it because he'd done so many shows or anything. None of that talks came out. So that kind of makes me happy because I feel like I won fair and square.
Yeah. No one's trying to sit there and take it away from you.
No.
So, how has it been post-show?
Very strange. Very kind of... There's a ton of emotions going through my mind at the minute where I feel like I've got a bit of a void in my life. Like I said to you just before we started, it's like I have... I've had this goal in my mind every single day I wake up, whether I've been in a mini off season or a little relaxed period or deep into prep. It's been every single day I'm hunting for that pro card. My days are orientated around chasing that pro card. And now I've got it. It's like, okay, so now what? Even though I'm very, very, very driven, I'm very excited, I'm very focused on doing a pro show and making my mark in the pro league, even though it's very clear what I have to do next and I actually do know what I'm going to do next, I still feel a little bit lost. I still feel like I'm a bit anxious, I'm a bit nervous. I feel like I've got a little bit of imposter syndrome. I am waking up thinking, okay, do I have a cookie for breakfast or do I have salmon and egg whites? It's like I'm fighting, battling myself. I'm like, just fucking let loose and enjoy yourself, man. You've been fucking killing yourself for ages. And then it's like, yeah, but now you're a pro, mate. Fucking get a grip. You gotta fucking eat well and set an example. And then it's like, yeah, but you're still allowed to fucking do what you want. Like, you can do that next week. And then it's like, okay, what do I train? Okay, how much cardio do I do? What cardio do I do? Do I watch my steps? Do I not? Shall I just chill? Shall I just have a day of doing zero? Or no, because I feel guilty. I need to move. I need to do something. And it's just constant battles at the minute where they're not getting to me to the point where they're like really stressing me out or or upsetting me, or I'm getting like anxious about deciding what to do for the day. But I'm very much wishy-washy about everything that I do. It's like
so
a little bit.
Play devil's advocate here then. In prep, or in a structured sort of off-season, mini off-season period, whatever you wanted to call it.
Yeah.
You would rely on Cal to say to you, right, you're doing this. So even in this post-show period, would you not rely on Cal to be like, okay, Hayder, you need to be doing X, Y, Z. Food needs to be here. Steps need to be here. Cardio needs to be here.
There's two kind of options and elements to that answer. So there's one part of it, Callum will be like, mate, do what the fuck you want. And when you want, tell me.
Okay.
That's what he said. When you want structure, when you're ready to get your head on, let me know. Then the other part of it is me thinking, like, I don't want to plan unless I'm going to follow it. And because I'm in between all these decisions, I don't want to say, yeah, Callum, right, let's get this plan sorted. Let's get on track now, because I'm not even gone home yet. I'm not even seen my kids yet. They need me 100%. They don't need me prepping meals and doing and taking time away from them. They need me at their disposal. Do you know what I mean? So I have to kind of ignore maybe what it is that I want to really do, in a sense where it's maybe I'll be feeling like I need that structure next week when I'm back. Well, we fly on Monday, so it's literally 2 days. But even if I do feel like I need it, I feel like I should ignore it and just be like, okay, kids, what do you want to do today? And they say, let's go and have pancakes and sit on the beach. Then that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if I say, right, kids, what do you want to do today? And they say, would you want to go swimming upstairs and go drive to the mall and go shopping? Then that's what we're going to do. Or let's go and grab an ice cream, or let's go and just, I don't know, let's have a biscuit and some tea or anything. I just want them to have their dad 100% for them, rather than have an agenda or a motive that I have to fulfill before I can give them my time. Oh, Dad, where are you going, Dad? And I'm like, oh, I'm just going cardio. And I'm like, again? I'm like, yeah, sorry. Yeah. I'll be back later. And they're like, okay. Where are you going, Dad? Oh, I'm just going to the gym. They're like, you went to the gym this morning. And I'm like, no, that was for cardio. And they're like, oh, okay. All right, see ya. And it's just like, fucking hell, do you know what I mean? I want him to just be like, Dad, where are you going today? And I'm like, well, where do you want to go?
Yeah.
Where do you want to go? Let's go. I want to just give them that time, because at the end of the day, it's not going to be for long. It's not going to be forever. I will need structure pretty fucking soon. I will need to start making improvements. We plan on getting on stage as a pro next year. So that doesn't leave me a long time to make some good improvements. So I'm going to have to get my act together quick. So for the first week or two, I just want them to enjoy me and make up for some lost time. And if that means I'm going to put excess weight on, or mean I'm going to have to do extra cardio here and there when I can sneak it in, when they're asleep in the morning super early, or when they go bed, or go out for walks and steps, then so be it. But I think it's very important that they get to savor this moment and enjoy it with me too.
I think as well, like from what you've said, obviously now, but also in the previous podcast we recorded, like, you and your family prep as a unit.
Yeah.
And so they've been technically in some respects in prep with you this whole time, so I guess there is a kind of want and maybe a need to give back to them.
Definitely, without a doubt. I mean, even like, even when you're trying to be present and you're trying to be as available to them as you can be, like I do on like rest days and stuff like that, there's still always that anxiousness in my mind. Like, I really don't like doing steps. Not that I don't like doing them, but they make me anxious.
How so?
The minute I wake up to the minute I go to bed, I'm checking what I've done. And it fucking gets to me so much. Like, it really winds me up sometimes because I'm like, just don't fucking stop. Like, when I wake up in the morning, it's like, okay, you get up, you have your little morning routine, you go and do your cardio, you do some steps, you get back, you have your breakfast, you do some more steps, you get back, you do some work, you do some more steps, you go to the gym, you train, then you finish, then you come back, and then you check in, all right, what am I on? Oh, shit, it gets me to the point where I'm, like, going to the furthest away toilet in the house or forgetting things, like, accidentally on purpose, so I've got to go back and get them. I'm, like, walking, like, doing zigzags, walking down the corridors and stuff. It's just fucking pathetic. I'm, like, this is so gay. What am I doing?
Going, like, up and down every aisle in the supermarket just because you know you'll get an extra 2,000-3,000.
Parking your car right in the corner of the car park. It's like I'm in a lift and I'm walking around the lift before it gets to the floor. And I'm like, it's just an underlying anxiousness that I just hate.
Yeah.
You know, like, it gets me so bad, but I know it's a necessity. I know I have to do it, so I just do it, but I really don't like it. But, yeah, like, the point I was making was, when I went nuts about steps, was even on rest days, it's like, I've got my motive and my agenda that I need to do, and I try and twin it with the family day out, like, oh, why don't we go for a walk down there? I'm like, oh, but it's a bit far. I'm like, yeah, it'll be all right. We'll go for a walk. We'll have a nice family walk down the marina. Clock up 1,000 steps there. Get that out of the way. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, there's always something where you're fucking having to do it for yourself. And I just don't want that. So I just want to be there for them. Like, even though that's not affecting anyone, it's not upsetting anyone, it's still me in my head knowing that I'm doing something for my personal gain, and I just don't want to do anything for me or my goals. I don't want what I'm having to do for my goals to coincide with the family time that I feel that they deserve for these next week or two or whatever it may be.
Yeah. It's interesting to hear you talk about the pressures and sort of feelings of anxiousness around prep, when I would look at you and think, God, this is a man that loves prepping.
I pretty much am cool with every part of prep apart from steps. I just do my nut in, honestly.
You're like, starve me, Cal, but don't give me steps.
But it's only because of the anxiousness that they create. It's just, I feel like it's on my mind all day. Do you know what I mean? Where I've got 1,000 other things on my mind. Like, I've got work, I've got family, I've got prep in general, I'm checking my condition, I'm like doing my cardio, hitting my weight sessions, I've got other things going off, like with business here and there, and like other avenues that I'm exploring. And then that's just the one thing that's just stuck in the back all day from morning to night. Everything else has its little moment and has its little time that you can allot to it and get it done. Like, you can't get 10,000+ steps done in just one hit when you've got to do over an hour cardio and a weight session.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like constantly trying to build them up throughout the day. And if you're knackered or you're tired or you miss one of those little stints that you usually do, then you've got to make up for it later on. And I always try and have the evening to myself where I just chill. Like, past like 8 p.m. I just want to do nothing. So if for those times, it really does get to me.
I find myself sometimes in prep being stressed at like 10 o'clock at night, thinking, oh my God, right, am I going to go walk the streets in the dark on my own, or am I going to lap the front room like a madman? And it's at that point where you're like, oh my God, I can't be honest.
What is life?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, what are these fucking gay little steps going to do? Can't I just go sleep?
When you're dizzy from walking around in circles.
I know. And you're trying to find ways to, like, relieve the dizziness. So you just go, like, straight. Don't turn. Just go straight up and down. Or when you turn, stop and turn.
Insane that this is the process that we go through and we think about those sorts of things.
I know, it's madness.
Right, so we had a few questions on the Q&A that I put up. Hey. I just wanted to run through with you.
Yep.
So someone asked, what do you feel was different with the IFBB Pro look than the other looks that you brought to stage?
So, yeah, definitely the fullness that we managed to bring. I managed to really, really maximise that and bring a really full, hard package. And also, I tweaked my back pose and I managed to, I guess I realised that I've been fucking trying too hard in my back pose and making it look less open than it can do. So for a lot of the time, I thought my back was quite weak, but it was really mainly just me not being able to kind of really spread it and open it up. That kind of just clicked on like show day morning, and we were like, what the fuck? Like, we were looking at pictures and we were like, no way. Like, I was going through it with Zach Fotheringham.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a light bulb moment. Do you know what I mean? It was like, no way. My back looks crazy. Like, it's never looked like that.
Yeah,
so that was one thing. And obviously, yeah, the main thing I imagine was the fullness that we managed to achieve and bring that look to stage, rather than just having great pictures on your Instagram from when you've had a refeed and you've got a good pump in the gym. We kind of managed to translate that onto stage. So that was really cool.
The sushi pump, as we should call it. Sush.
Sushi protocol.
Sushi protocol. Cal's sushi protocol.
Yeah.
That and a packet of salt and vinegar crisps.
Is that you? Is that what you do?
No, I'd love that. No, I've heard a few people say that he gives salt and vinegar crisps as a pump up.
He's giving me just with way salt and just dry.
I'll just bang that in. Yeah.
Yeah. Justin.
Yeah, no, I think it's changed every year for me, but this year we kind of fed up a little bit more and I just had cream of rice and peanut butter and dark chocolate. But when you see people backstage like banging in things like crisps, you're like, or people, a Reese's cup.
I see people banging donuts and shit, like
mental cooking.
Like, that's just not right, man. Not before you get on stage.
Nathan D'Asher banging in Burger Kings before show.
Yeah, I've done that before, to be fair. I had a McDonald's once with Jordan. Yeah,
I don't risky. Even know how people put trust in like something like that.
I think you've got to be super, super peeled, and you've got to have a good set of genetics where you can kind of deal with any kind of scenario. Nathan D'Asher preps on like curries and stuff.
I watched his YouTube the other day, and he said that in prep, he has like 8,500 calories, I think he said. That's his cutting. And I'm like, what? I mean, I know he's an absolute lump, but that is insane.
I don't know about that. he might have got that wrong.
He might. Well, if he embellished it, then that's one thing. But he definitely, yeah, because he was doing a 20K challenge. And he was like, this is nothing to me. Yeah, he did it, yeah. Rowley, I don't know if he made it.
Did Rob do it?
Rob.
He was going to do it with Rob Taylor. Did he do it on his own? Yet?
No, he did it with four guys. Rowley and him, a guy called Dan, and I can't remember who the other guy was. But yeah, one of the guys threw up in an Italian restaurant. Nathan just smashed through it. Like, no dramas.
What, 20,000 done?
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. He was just Pop-Tarts, Lint balls, McDonald's, Five Guys, two Dairy Milk chocolate bars, donuts, the Italian place, ice cream and some more burgers.
I did it once. It was the worst thing I've ever done in my life. Honestly, it was fucking horrible. I was in a bright mess.
I can't imagine it being comfortable.
Oh, honestly, I got to around... I'm not even going to say. It's just... you don't want to hear it, honestly. It's just... I was so bad. So bad. The next day, I felt like I'd actually torn the inside of my stomach. Like it was sore. Painful. Wow. Sore. After a regular post-show binge, it was like actually painful. It was so bad. So, so bad.
So and lesson be... for everyone here, don't try and do a 20K challenge.
Not unless you're going to do it really like strategically, where you're just having like tubs of peanut butter or something that are just going to go in easy and just wrap up calories. If you're going to do it where you are trying to kind of enjoy it, then you've fucking got no hope.
Mm.
I do it in a fun way where I was eating everything that I enjoyed. I started off with like pancakes and French toast and like syrup and eggs and like all that shit. Then I had like a McDonald's breakfast. I started from like 7 a.m. So I had a McDonald's breakfast at about 9, 10. Then I had Domino's pizza, 20 KFC wings, a chicken burrito, and a Ben and Jerry's tub, and then that's what fucking screwed me. That one meal there did me in, and I was like, from then on, it was an uphill battle.
The Domino's and the Ben and Jerry's would have killed me off.
That's what it is. The mix of that and ice cream's just so dense, and the lack, everything else, it just fucking screwed me right over. Everything after that was just hard work.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to have like cereal, you know, like crunchy nut clusters and stuff like that, trying to enjoy stuff, and it was just making it even worse because it was just like the liquid and stuff.
I don't really get the whole eating challenging thing. I think a lot of it is because people want to see you do a 20K challenge, they're like, or a 10K or whatever it may be. People love to watch people eat.
Yeah, they do. Most views on YouTube, without a doubt. Every single eating video. If you go on somebody's channel and they've done an eating challenge video, it will have like double or triple the amount of views than every other video that they've done. I don't really know what the fixation is about it, but yeah, they do well. So if you want to ramp your engagement on YouTube, I guess it is a good way to do
it. Eat like a twat.
Here's me, I'll be doing it. IFBB Pro. First video on his new YouTube.
What would you do though? Because 20K obviously you said was horrendous. But I imagine you'd do 10 pretty easy.
Yeah, 10 would be easy.
Yeah.
I'd do 20 again, but I'd just do it. Now I've got the know-how, I'd do it a little bit more strategically. I wouldn't be trying to fucking cook French toast and have a load of fun with it. It'd be a bit more calorie dense.
Just burgers all day.
Yeah, burgers or what else is really stupidly high in calories? Just make like peanut butter and Nutella sandwiches fried in butter or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't go down the ice cream and milkshake route because you're asking for trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they'd probably taste amazing. You know, like deep fried Oreos and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, just they're anything all, fried is all, pretty fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, they're always banging, aren't they? I go London today. I'm going to go nuts.
Oh, enjoy. Down in my ends.
Yeah, I don't know where to go, though.
Well, I'll send you some places after this.
Yeah, I'm thinking of hitting a food market this afternoon, potentially. And then we're going sticks and sushi at 8 p.m. We've got that booked. And I got a really nice suite in... Bridge, so can't wait. I've got fucking butler service. What even is that?
I mean, tell me you're a pro without telling me you're a pro.
I know. What is it though? What is it?
Maybe they'll.
What do they do?
I guess if you need anything, like, isn't can you come take my socks off because I can't bend over because I've eaten too much today?
Yeah, because I'm holding that much water. Help
me. On that note, one of the other questions we got was, what was your post-show food? What was like your meal you had after you came off stage?
It was crap.
Oh.
I know. Well, I waited. What Callum had Hannah doing bikini. So he was there till late. And obviously, I didn't want to go without him. So when I got back to the apartment to have a shower and stuff, I, what did I eat? I don't think I ate anything. I had chocolate rice cakes. I had a packet of chocolate rice cakes, so like six chocolate rice cakes. I don't know about you, but they're like, I fucking love them.
Yeah, they're good. Have you had the ones like, with raspberry on?
Yeah, I have, yeah. They're good. They're good. I just like milk chocolate rice cakes. I just could just nail them all day.
White chocolate like, yogurt ones are nice as well.
Yogurt ones are banging. I've had they are good. But yeah, I had a pack of them and then I just waited. And we went, had a shower. We went back to the show. By the time he got out, nothing was open. So we had a fucking crappy Burger King.
Yeah.
It was shit. But they had a special on and it was called a London Burger. And it was truffle in a Burger King. And it was fucking... I got a Whopper, a double Whopper, and that. And the Whopper was crap. I didn't even eat it all because it was just dry as a bone. But the London thing was fucking decent.
Truffle in Burger King?
I can't
That's
imagine
bougie,
it being
isn't
real.
It?
It probably wasn't real. It was probably just like truffle flavour. I don't know, but it was fucking nice, honestly. So, yeah, that's all we ate. And then the next day we went back to the sushi place that we loaded on. And I haven't really had anything special since, to be honest. Actually, I did. I went to the Italian in my hometown the night before last. It was really nice. Just had a really nice fillet steak and a bit of pasta.
Oh, lovely. Oh, yeah, I saw that on your story. Cooked beautifully.
Yeah. Oh, it was so, so good. I haven't had any red meat in my diet this year, so that was different. It was nice to have that as a change.
Was that for digestive reasons?
No, obviously I was with Hyacinth before I got with Callum, do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
And he's just not a fan of red meat, so he didn't put it in my diet.
Right.
And then obviously because I started with Callum being so low body fat and between shows, it was just like carried on with my kind of baseline diet, but just upped things and changed things rather than introducing new food groups, which could potentially cause an issue. Yeah, it was just how it kind of happened. But I'm going to definitely start having some red meat more frequently now in my off season.
I always fancy a steak after I've come off stage.
Do you?
Not every show, but it's the richness of the meat. I'm like...
Yeah, I've never been hugely into steak, but I do appreciate a good steak for sure. I'm usually just after a burger as soon as I get off stage, but I've not really been bothered about it. But I think that's partly because Dubai's got some mental burger places and I know I'll probably have some that's sick over there. But then again, today, some of these food markets have some sick pop-up burger stands. I went to that one in Box Park before. I forgot what it's called. I think it's called... Is it called Bleaker Burger or something?
Oh, okay, yeah.
I can't remember.
There's my favourite burger place in London. I'm pretty sure it's called Burger and Beyond. I'll send you their page after.
That's decent.
It's unreal.
Yeah, it's not like burgers on steroids, is it? They look quite...
They're reasonable,
normal.
Yeah. But, like, the sides are really good. Their mac and cheese is, so flavoursome. And they do these tater tot things with, cheese on top. Right. And they're unreal.
Awesome.
Yeah. Can you tell I'm reversing?
I read your post. Killing it.
Just trying to keep it tight.
Like that.
Well, I'd be worried if you did look like that, if that's what they're awarding pro cards for in your category, looking like a bikini girl.
I meant condition. You look sick.
Thank you. And we touched upon this earlier on, and I don't know if you want to answer this because of pressure and all that sort of stuff, but obviously someone's asking about when you will do your pro debut.
Okay. I want to, well, me and Callum have spoke about wanting to do the Arnold UK, if I can get an invite to that. That would be a cool first show to
that
do.
That would be sick.
Yeah, that would be very, very, very good to do that in England, and such a prestigious kind of event as well. And it gives me quite a bit of time to get better. So that's what I'd like to do, but it's hard to kind of pinpoint on something right now. Obviously, I'm really, really good friends with Mark Hector, and he's coached by Callum now as well. So we're going to do a bit of a tour, I think, next year, where we're both going to kind of hunt for our Olympia qualification. So sounds so mental saying that.
That is so cool, though. And really nice to be able to do it as like a group, as like a unit.
Yeah. Going to be so much fun. Like, we are so excited about it. It's going to be sick, because obviously, like, Mark's like one of my best friends. Like, I absolutely adore him. Like, we're like family. And Callum's became like that now as well. And like, we all train together when we can, obviously when I'm in the UK, but we all speak every day. We're all in a group on WhatsApp, and it's very, very kind of close knit. And I've obviously done 5-6 shows with Callum abroad now, living in close proximity, sharing apartments. Like, we know each other. There's no better way to understand someone or get to know them than actually living with them. So that's like, we know each other, we know what we're about, we know what we like. And then to have Mark jump in as well, and to potentially do the Arnold UK together and then fly to the US and hit a run of shows. It's just so exciting to think about. Like I'm so invigorated. I'm so determined. I'm so inspired. I feel like a new man. Like, I've just started all over again. It's like, I went from being down and out and make or break to like, I'm fucking ready to go in and flip and really, really hit these pro shows like never before. I feel like I'm where I belong. I'm going to fucking kill it as well. It felt so good as well when I won. Like, that Jack Sullivan, the IFBB Pro League judge, he's a resident Pro League judge. Like, he does the Olympia and everything. He did the Arnold UK, and he came over and he was like, "Well done, brother. You deserve that." And I was like, "Oh, sick." And he's like, "You're going to do some damage in the Pro League." And I was like, "Fucking what? What?"
Amazing.
You mean that?
He was like probably one of the nicest judges I've ever met.
Oh, wasn't he?
He was so nice. He was so welcoming and friendly.
I was like, "He knows this guy's the man. He's so sick."
Yeah,
he was so nice. He came backstage when it was strange, because you don't really see this. Like, the head judge came round the back outside through that door backstage before I'd even won my class. And he was just on his own, like, just looking around. And I was like, I went over to him. I was like, what's going on? I was like, well, how did I do? And he was like, you did really well. I was like, have I won? He was like, I don't know yet, he said. I was like, come on. He was like, I don't know. I was like, just tell me. I was like, it's close, isn't it? He was like, it's very close, but you're doing really well. And I was like, oh. I was like, man. And then I just stood there and he was like, stay close, brother. I was like, okay.
That's such a vibe, though.
Oh, but like, what a guy. Like,
yeah.
Like, judges usually just sit there and keep away, don't they?
Yes.
Like, he just strolling around the athletes backstage. It's nuts. Crazy.
Well, I have absolutely loved this conversation. My face is aching from smiling.
Oh, it's mine.
And I'm so grateful for you joining me for another episode. Time is precious, as we know. So
this has been, I was never going to miss this. This is so, so good. It's been sick.
Like,
to have this with you. And I've said it publicly that your podcast was the best one I've ever done, without a doubt. You really touched me and made me talk in a way that I haven't before. And now I feel at ease and I can talk like that every time I talk to you. So I thank you for that. And I got some really, really good feedback and nice comments and people telling me how. One person actually messaged me saying, "Oh, I'm not saying I thought you were a dick, but
you're it's actually, always one.
Yeah, you're actually all right. You're actually sound." So, all right, yeah, cheers. So it's kind of opened people's eyes as to what I'm like as a person and not just the social media person that they assume me to be like. So I'm really, really grateful that you've allowed me to express myself and be myself on your channel and speak so openly and freely.
No, that means a lot. So thank you so much. And I think it's important, like the whole purpose of the Man Behind the Muscle was for people to see like who's behind the exterior.
Yeah.
And probably I actually probably got the most feedback on your episode out of even every series I've done since then, because people didn't really know you.
No.
A lot of people didn't even have a preconception. They just didn't really know who you were as a person. They knew Hayder, they knew the bodybuilder, but they didn't know who you were. They didn't know your fact you're a family man and that you were so funny.
I think I can come across as maybe a little bit spiky exterior sometimes. I don't really ever mean to be like that, but maybe it's just how I'm just focused on what I'm doing a lot of the time. I don't know, but I've heard that a lot, that people kind of expect me to be almost not very nice for some reason, and I'm like, what, come on, it's completely the opposite of what I'm like.
I think you come across as really serious. I wouldn't say spiky is the word, but you're so focused and driven that some people could see that as being quite hard.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, that could make sense, to be fair.
But actually, you're not.
No. You bring the soft side out. Sure. You've got away. With your words and how you come across. It's really good. I told you that last time. You need to really push this because you're sick.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I'm so, so glad that I was there in the background to hear you turn pro.
Oh, man. Buzzing to see you. I didn't know. You didn't tell anyone, did you?
No.
I was like, what? What are you doing here?
It's always a secret.
You didn't believe in yourself that day.
No.
Not at all. I told you.
Just going for the numbers. Just didn't know the number was going to be 2.
You're going to be at that next one next time. Trust me.
We'll see. We'll see.
Progression. It's going up and up and up every time.
Yeah.
You got to look. Oh.
I'm going to go into a long ass off season now. Bring myself up and come back fighting.
Yeah, man. Trust me. You're going to be in them overalls next year. I can see it happening. Make the right improvements and that's where you belong.
And I'll be on the sidelines cheering you on for your O.
On.
But yeah, it's been epic conversation. Thank you, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Hannah. It's been
amazing.
I'll
be watching.
Yes.